This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. After the success of Rock Auk this month, it is a good time to catch up with Gachung, Stephen Blanchett, who dreamed of having a festival like this years ago. Hi, Steve. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, hello, everyone. Gachung here, a.k.a. Stephen Blanchett. Super happy to be sharing, and I'm so proud of Rock Auk and everything that happened with that. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, we have a lot of things to talk about, including some of the other things you're involved with. But let's start with a Rock Auk wrap-up. What kind of feedback did you receive about the festival, the inaugural Rock Auk Festival?
The inaugural festival was a huge success. We had folks tuning in from all over the world. It was amazing. It was so great because we had a chat session that was going along on as the concert was being streamed. And we had such amazing comments from people just sharing about how proud they are that, you know, being able to see and hear Indigenous music. I mean, it was just like brought people together. There was viewing parties that were happening in villages and communities. I mean, one of the things I'm most happy about is that, like, the small villages, they came out and really supported this. It was huge.
Everything you'd hoped it would be?
And more. It really went beyond our expectations. You know, putting on a digital concert and a festival is pretty hard. You know, I've been a part of a few of these, and I've watched several of them with my friends. And it's been a tough way to really communicate and really share what's the magic of, like, live music. But I really felt like our team, with KTOO and the folks that were working on the production, and Betsy doing sound, it all came together. It really captured the magic.
And how are you yourself feeling now that the first Rock Auk is behind you?
You know, it was like a few days afterwards, it felt like I had just climbed Mount Juno several times. You know? I was completely beat up, sore, hurting, you know. But it was so worth it. I wasn't expecting how emotional I was going to get just watching it. I mean, both nights, there was this grown man here just crying, just watching this beautiful thing unfold. And we're already, you know, talking about 2023. That's where we're at right now.
That was going to be my next question. The next one will be in 2023. Hopefully it will all be live and in person. And I was going to ask if you have already started planning for that, or if you're going to take a little breather first.
I thought we were going to take a little breather, but I think we're so excited about it that we're actually just trying to, like, figure out what went well, what didn't work out, and kind of the learning lessons and what's, you know, thinking of the next step. So we're doing that right now. And I think we'll take a little break after that. But all this energy and momentum that we have on closing out this inaugural event is, we're doing that as we speak. And I think, you know, even tomorrow we have another meeting. Mm-hmm. But we're just, you know, I think once we do that and get all those things in order, we'll take a breather, and then at some point in 2022, maybe in like a couple months, we'll start writing those grants again.
I can understand why there would still be quite a lot of inertia. It only wrapped up a couple weeks ago, and it was really exciting, and it was a big success. And so good to keep that going while you can and talk about those things while it's still fresh, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and just to really, like, celebrate, you know, it's those moments, like, you just celebrate it and just really take it all in, and then you move on to the next thing.
Always good to take time to celebrate a success. So when I was watching Rock Auk and I saw the first act, I believe it was Air Jazz, come on stage at Centennial Hall, I geeked out because Yada Chun was the backdrop, and it's going to be permanently installed this week on the Seawalk, on the waterfront. What is your connection to that sculpture?
Well, that was awesome. That CARES Act funding that we got from the CBJ had, you know, at the time I was working at the JAC, and we were tasked to just to basically organize and facilitate this artist grant program through the CARES funding. And the biggest project and one of the most fun ones that I was helping out on was Yada Chun with Robert Mills. And so, just seeing it from just the pieces of aluminum in the beginning and to where it is now, and to have it part of the stage, that was just a magic. You know, one of those things about the festival is that there was a lot of different things that just happened, like little mistakes or things that were just pushed off that became magic, right? from Yadachu not being installed, but being installed like just a week and a half later. You know, it could have been the week before, and we wouldn't have had that beautiful art piece created by Robert on the stage. To our sound design, our lighting designer, who was here for Perseverance Theater and just happened to be here, and just phenomenal. The artistic direction that she gave with the lighting made Yadachun look so beautiful on that stage.
It was really the perfect backdrop. I got so excited when I saw it. I've seen it around town in two different places, and then to see it on stage, I was just like, it just seemed so perfect. How did it come to be as part of the backdrop? You said it hadn't been installed yet, and I think the last place I saw it was in the Centennial Hall lobby. So were you guys just like, hey, let's put it on stage?
Yeah, we were like thinking about the backdrop, and I was like, what about the canoe? That's going to look stunning lit up. And everyone's like, oh, we don't know if it's where it's going to be. But as we got a little closer, like, we have it. And so that was a key, because we were just like, it's like one of those things is when you're thinking about a festival, it's usually not, you know, I've done a lot of festivals and the backdrop is usually just the stage, right? But we had to really make this experience for the people watching it and virtually. So it had to be visually stunning. And the stage plot was a key to making that experience for the audience online to have that beautiful experience. So it was, like I said, it was like all these beautiful things that just meant to be, and it happened. So yeah, when we made that decision and we had the two, I want to call them the ancestors that were flanking to each side of the canoe, that were just kind of watching over. And those were, beautiful button blankets that are used for dancing. And we had masks that were made by Abel Ryan that were adorning those, and then cedar bark hats. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was a very meaningful selection. And I was excited to see it. But maybe we should back up a little bit. If people don't know what Yadachun is, or what is the story behind it, how would you describe it for folks who don't, who are maybe hearing about it for the first time?
I'd say this is a very stylistic, very creative representation of dugout canoes from the Southeast. And Robert Mills really took that vision of what would a canoe look like if it was like the bones of a canoe, right? These, like this, you know, like if you think of things that have souls, you know, we think of like, you know, this body and the bones and all that, but you know, it was like, it's about 20 feet long, and it's has these ornate designs of form line that are, baked in within the shape of it. And also if you look really closely, like if you look at the paddle, they're just etched into the paddle, these beautiful form line designs. And so it was just this representation of like how we are in this journey together during COVID, of like all of us are in this together. We are all paddling in this one canoe. It's not a partisan thing. It's not, you know, blue, it's not red, it is we're in this together. And that was the message that one of the messages that Robert was really trying to instill, which is one of those think it values, of us paddling and us together as a strength.
Yeah, it's big, it's aluminum, it's three-dimensional form line, it's very, very striking. And now it's going to be in its permanent home. It will be installed on Zanta Kahini, I believe, but I'm not sure exactly where. Do you know anything about the installation that's happening this week?
Yeah, so if you think about where the whale park is, you know, and where the whale is, and there's that boardwalk that goes along the wall or along the shoreline, it is on the other side of that boardwalk, placed right there. So it'll be prominently seen. It's going to be beautifully lit. I think it's going to be a striking just seeing when you look out into the water, that it just, in addition to that, like, beautiful whale just breaching out of the water, then just a little bit further is this gorgeous canoe.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. I have enjoyed seeing it around town, but I really was hoping it would go on display in a more prominent location, you know, someday. So I'm happy to hear that's happening. Well, thank you for talking about that, for telling us about Yarachun, and we'll be looking for it to come up later on this week. Shifting gears a little bit, more congratulations for you are in order, as you are one of the 15 recipients of a new Native Arts and Culture Foundation grant worth $100,000, half to you, half to your partner organization. I understand this is also an idea that's been a long time in the making. So would you please tell us more about your project?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. Yeah, this, I can't even tell you. I'm just blown away by how this year has turned out. You know, last year was such a tough year. You know, we weren't able to perform together and all that. We're starting to be able to do that now. I'm get together with my crew and my with my band, and to have Rock Ock come together. And then on top of it, this amazing support for my work. One of the things that maybe a lot of people don't know is that I'm a traditional dancer, and traditional singing and dancing was the basis of my group, of my band Bumiwa. And that was my first love. And so I've been teaching dance and choreography, song creation for just as long as I've been, actually even longer than the band. So one of the communities I've been performing or doing that is the community of Old Harbor. So Old Harbor is my organizational partner, and together we got support from the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation. I have to give them a huge thank you to that crew for supporting all of us artists, including Lily Hope, and there's four Alaskans, and so you know, I love the continuation of our traditions, and that's what this grant's all about, to build the capacity of singers and song choreographers, you know, song composers on the island of Kodiak.
And so I understand that Bamiwa even has the name, its origin is a dance term. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. It's, that's why, I mean, really, it's like, honestly, the whole basis of our music is based on dancing. So Bamiwa means encore, do it again.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about how you, what this project entails and how your partner organization and you will be supporting each other throughout this. What are some of the stages? I believe it's a 2-year grant. Is that right?
It is. Yeah, yeah. It's a 2-year grant. I'll be traveling to Kodiak Island every 2 months. On weekends, I'll be convening a cohort of folks that are wanting to learn. We're gonna be pulling people from the 7 different communities, the indigenous communities on the island, and we're gonna be meeting bi-monthly, and we're gonna get together and work on these work on creation of songs and dances. So if everything goes to plan, and you know, which we're coming up on our first convening that will be happening, where we're getting together. We're just now getting our folks, our language experts, our 14 people that will be partaking on this from the 7 communities. If that happens, we'll have 70 new dances and songs on the island of Kodiak in the end of two years. And it really is, I mean, this community is like, I think there's maybe about 20-something traditional songs that are still in the memory that are being done on a regular basis. So this is going to increase their songs and dances on the island by so much more. It's really going to be like what the name of this grant is. It's really going to be a shift for them.
Right. It sounds like it's part revitalization, part innovation. So drawing from the past and building for the future and keeping it going. Tell me the name of the project again.
Jumilatstun, like our ancestors.
Right. Is that what you think the vision is too, bringing the past and the present together to move forward?
Yeah, well, you know, it is, right. We're honoring the past, right? Tumiletsun was actually the original dance group that started this revitalization effort back in the 80s. So 1980, about the mid 80s, a dance group called Tumiletsun, like our ancestors, was convened. And so that group is still around, you know, in a way, but we're just growing what they first built and what they first started. So in the end of the 2 years, we will be convening a dance festival. So those of you start planning, save your money, head over to Kodiak in June of 2024. And so we're going to have an amazing, or 23, we're going to have an amazing dance festival on the island of Kodiak, the second one on the island in any living person's memory.
Well, it certainly sounds like you have lots to look forward to over the next couple of years and lots to do to keep you busy. So, Gachung, thank you so much for talking with me today and catching up with us about everything that's happened so far and everything that you're planning to do moving forward. It's been really, really fun chatting with you.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And thank you, everyone who supported Rock Auk. And thank you so much.
Enjoy basking. Till next time. Another Juneau artist has received a Transformative Change and Indigenous Arts Award from the Native Arts and Culture Foundation. When we come back, how Lily Hope plans to use her grant.